The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Janice Peary, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Read to Succeed, a program especially for young children. For the next half hour or so, I will be reading to you many Halloween stories because, as you know, Halloween is at the end of October and it's coming up fairly quickly. Still a whole month and a half to wait, but it will come. So our first story today is called Froggy's Halloween by Jonathan London. And this is about a frog and his class and all sorts of things. So here we go. For Froggy, Halloween meant candy, but it also meant dressing up. And he wondered, what should I be for Halloween? I know, cried Froggy. Super Frog, flying high over the city, faster than a dragonfly, faster than a bullfrog. No, something spooky. I know, cried Froggy. Ghost Frog. He poked two holes in his mother's best white sheet, and draped it over his head. And it looked like it was going to swallow him up. It was way too big. He went, ooh. No, something scarier. I know, cried Froggy. Vampire Frog. And he put on his black cape. Swoosh. And he pulled on his mom's black tights. Zip. Put on his slick black wig, zat, and in his best Dracula voice, trick or treat, smell my feet, give me something good to eat. If you don't, I don't care, I'll pull down your underwear. Froggy, cried his mother, what? Halloween's not till next week. You're supposed to be doing your homework, dear. I'm Count Von Frogula, said Froggy. Vampire frogs don't do homework. Ever. Froggy's mother laughed. Vampires have fangs, she said. You're a toothless wonder. Oops, cried Froggy, covering his mouth. So all week at school, Froggy wondered, what should I be for Halloween? A football player? A cowboy? A zombie? Froggy, cried his teacher, Miss Witherspoon, who was a crane. What? Kindly keep your mind on your work, dear. She could tell that he wasn't doing his work. But his mind was on Halloween. Every day after school, he got ready. He carved crazy pumpkins. He hung sticky spider webs on the front of his house. He hung his mother's white sheet like a ghost in the wind. And he practiced, trick or treat, smell my feet, give me something good to eat. If you don't, I don't care, I'll pull down your underwear. At last, it was the night before Halloween, and all through the house there were creaking sounds and scratching sounds. Froggy was scared. He shivered in his bed and imagined ghosts and goblins and their werewolves and witches. I know, cried Froggy, as he zapped those imaginations out of his mind. I'll be the Frog Prince for Halloween. So, on Halloween, there was a parade at school. All the girls thought he looked cute, especially Frogolina. And here was his class marching in their costumes. There was a duck in a tutu, pink tutu, and there was a pirate frog, and there was a bear in a clown suit, and Frogolina, he had a beautiful blue long dress on and red high heels and pearls. I guess she was a princess or something. Oh, and a crown on her head. Yes, she was definitely a princess. And Piggy had a devil suit on, red costume all over his body, red horns, hat on his head, and he was carrying a stick shaped like a trident. So he was a devil. And that night, when the dark crept in and all the ghosts and goblins crept out to trick or treat, boo! Princess Frogolina leapt out and chased after the frog prince to give him a kiss. Eek! Cried Froggy. He was never more scared in his whole life. He leapfrogged over his mother. He leapfrogged over his father. He leapfrogged over his friend Max and flopped up Max's steps. Flop, flop, splat, and he tripped on the porch. And Frogolina fell on top of him. Uh-oh, what a mess. The door flew open and, uh-oh, there stood the wickedest witch in the whole world. Trick or treat, squeaked Froggy, looking more red in the face than green. And there was Frogolina splat on top of him. Luckily, Frogolina ran away, and the witch turned out to be Max's granny. And that Halloween, Froggy got tons of candy. But his sword had torn a hole in his candy bag. And by the time he got home... Uh-oh, what happened? The candy was all gone. Oh, no, cried Froggy. What's the matter? Asked his mom. He showed her his empty bag. He had not noticed the big hole. Well, you're in luck, said his mother, holding up a full bowl. I guess nobody liked my treats. And what do you think she gave him? Chocolate covered, and we have to turn the page here, chocolate covered flies. Yum, cried Froggy, my favorite. Munch, crunch, munch, as he ate those things all up. And that is the end of that story. The next story is called Plumply Dumply Pumpkin, written by Mary Srifotso. And it's about a little tiger whose name was Peter. Peter's looking for a pumpkin, a perfect plumply dumply pumpkin. So he goes to a pumpkin patch. Not a lumply, bumpy pumpkin, not a stumpy, grumpy pumpkin, but a sunny, sumptuous pumpkin. Whoops, will he find one? Finally, on a twining vine, he spies a pumpkin, fat and fine. Ooh, and it's big, too. Not too fat, though, not at all. Not too short and not too tall. Not some squat, lopsided pumpkin, but a glossy lot of pumpkin. So he puts it on his head, and it looks like he's going to keep it on there. So why does Peter want a pumpkin? Want a showy, glowy pumpkin? Pumpkin pickles? Pumpkin pie? What do you think? Pumpkin pudding? Pumpkin fry? Pumpkin salad? Pumpkin stew? What is Peter going to do? With his pumpkin home at last, Peter starts in working fast. Helps his dad carve into place a simply dimply dumply face. A perfect pumpkin face. Lights a light behind the grin to start it glowing from within. He put a candle in there so the pumpkin will glow. Later wins the most applause and really no surprise because... Yes, there was a contest. Perfect pumpkins really do make perfect jack-o'-lanterns too. So he won the first prize. There he is standing with the first prize gold medal. And it looks other friends just don't have the same kind of pumpkin, so that's why he won, because he had a perfect pumpkin. And that is the end of that story. Our next story is not a Halloween story, but it is called The Giant Jumperee, and it's by Julia Donaldson and Helen Oxenbury. Rabbit was hopping home one day when he heard a loud voice coming from inside his own burrow. I'm the Giant Jumperee, and I'm scary as can be. Help, help, cried Rabbit. What's the matter, Rabbit? Asked Cat. There's a giant jumperee in my burrow. Don't worry, said Cat. I'll slink inside and pounce on him. Shoot. So Cat slunk up to the burrow. But just as she was about to slink inside, she heard a loud voice. "I'm the giant jumperee, and I'll squash you like a flea." "Help, help," meowed Cat. "What's the matter, Cat?" asked Bear. "There's a giant jumperee in Rabbit's burrow." "Don't worry," said Bear. "I'll put my big furry paw inside and knock him down." So Bear swaggered up to the burrow. But just as he put his big furry paw inside, he heard a loud voice. "I'm the giant jumperee, and I'll sting you like a bee." And, "Help, help," bellowed Bear. "What's the matter, Bear?" asked Elephant. "There's a giant jumperee in Rabbit's burrow," said Bear. "Don't worry," said Elephant. "I'll wrap my trunk around him and toss him away." So Elephant stomped up to the burrow. But just as he put his long gray trunk inside, he heard a loud voice. "I'm the giant jumperee, and I'm taller than a tree." "Help, help," trumpeted Elephant. "What's the matter, Elephant?" asked Mama Frog. "There's a giant jumperee in Rabbit's burrow," said Elephant. "Don't worry," said Mama Frog. "I'll tell him to come out." "No, don't do that," said all the other animals. "He's as scary as can be," said Rabbit. "He can squash you like a flea." "He can sting you like a bee," said Bear. "And he's taller than a tree." But Mama Frog took no notice of him. She jumped up to the burrow. "I'm the giant jumperee, and you're terrified of me," came out the loud voice. The other animals backed away, but Mama Frog wasn't scared. "Come on out, giant jumperee," she said. "You're the one we want to see, and so I'm counting up to three. 1, 2, and 3, and out jumped Baby Frog. "Hello, Mama. I'm the giant jumperee," he said. "And you're coming home for tea," said Mama Frog. She was mad at him, wasn't she? And there all the animals go, dancing around, and Rabbit can now get back into his burrow, and there really was nothing afraid to be afraid of after all, was there? That's the end of that story. The next book is Mum, Me, and the Mulberry Tree. Now, mulberries aren't very common around here or in where we live, but this book actually was written in England, where mulberries are very common. Anyways, Mum, Me, and the Mulberry Tree was written by Tanya Rosie and illustrated by Chuck Granick. It has lovely pictures in it. Mulberries are sort of a little berry that grow on a tree, and I've never seen them at all growing on a tree because I've never seen mulberries. But so, here we go. As the sun starts to rise, Mum softly shakes me. Time to wake up and get ready. I fasten my buttons and I tie my own shoelaces. Mum holds out a hand, strong and steady, and we run to catch the bus. Now on the bus, we know the road well. We sit side by side, knee to knee. We've brought buckets and tubs, every tub Mum could find. We're going to visit our tree. The grass is so long, it's wild when it waves. I point to the field with glee. Mum squeezes my hand. Her other hand's full. "We're here. We're here. Mum and me. Will there be many and will they be ripe?" Mum whispers, "Just wait and see." I see a branch stir, stoked by the breeze. It feels like hello from our tree. And when we're beside it, and when we're beneath, under the cool canopy, Mum lifts me up high, and I see them all glitter, the jewels of this mulberry tree. Now we pick and we pluck, we eat as we go. Mum saves her most purple for me. There's juice on our hands and stains down our shirt. We skip round the tree. 1, 2, 3. When we stop for lunch, we feel the first raindrop. "Quick, Mum," laughs Mum. "Back to the tree." We share each retreat to the drip, drip of drizzle, to the bumbling buzz of the bee. There they are. It's raining, but the tree is keeping them dry, and they're having lunch that Mom brought. Then Mom starts to climb up, up, and up, finding berries the world can't see. I worry and call, "Mom, don't go too high." But she's safe in the arms of our tree. Mom, when the sun sets, the rain has stopped, and it's like the setting of summer. My heart sinks like a stone in the sea. We head back home, my head in Mom's lap, in the window, a last glimpse of the tree. Mom lights up the house and warms up the oven. We roll out dough for the pastry. Together, we whip cream into cotton ball clouds. Then, ding, there it is. The pie is ready. It's coming out of the oven. Mmm. And this little boy has a fork in his hand already. We mmm and we hum. We savor our slices. Oh, so tangy, so tasty. My mouth is sticky. Mom wipes it and smiles. You're delicious too, my baby. And there they're sitting at the table, and there's a bowl of whipped cream to put on top of their pie. As the moon starts to glow, Mom takes me to bed. She leans in close and kisses my head. Good night, she sings as I shut my eyes. Good night, I see that deep red. I taste that sweet pie. Outside the window, a bird chirps a last song. It sounds young and happy and free. Until this time next year, I know I'll be dreaming mulberry dreams of Mom and of me. The end. The next book, and our last Halloween book, is called The Sweetest Witch Around by Allison McGee. So, here we go. I'm the bravest witch around. Why is that? Because I'm the only witch who's not afraid of humans. Those other witches are even afraid of the word human. I gave up on them a long time ago. There's one I still have hope for, though. My little sister, Witchling. I'm going to teach her things that the other witches never will. Especially about, you know what. And here's the little sister playing with an easy-bake cauldron instead of an easy-bake oven. And she's mixing up a potion to try to learn how to mix poisonous potions or love potions or all sorts of things. Study the humans and learn their mysterious ways, Witchling. They love dressing up on Halloween, especially like us. Here's the big sister witch talking. They love pumpkins, especially the goopy innards, and they love something disgusting that they call candy. Can you say candy? Candy. Yum, says the little sister. No, Witchling. Candy. Yuck. Candy, yuck. And the little sister's cat says, candy, in his brain, says, candy, yum. Well, would you look like that? My little sister actually ate a piece of human candy. That is one brave witchling. Oh, no. Oops. I missed a page. I can't wait to teach my little sister other things like haunting and screeching. And best of all, flying. Stop, wait. Candy, says the little sister, and she gets out her broom to fly away. No, no, Witchling, you don't know how to fly yet. Holy catnip, thinks the cat. Oh no, this calls for reinforcements. Hang on, kitty, we're going. So she and her kitty jump on her broom. Whew, she got a friend up there with her. Oh, she got on the little sister's broom. They were able to catch up with the little sister, she and the cat. Whew, so far so good. And the little sister says, Candyland, pointing to the human where humans live. Study the ways of humans, Witchling. This is what they do on Halloween. Trick or treat, These are all the little kids in costumes at somebody's door, and the man is handing out candy. No, witchling, candy, yuck. Candy, yuck, said the little sister as she bumps her big sister and the kitty off the broom and goes flying on towards the human place. If you think you're going to steal my little sister, human, you've got another thing coming. Just let me get out of this tree. Evidently, they fell in the tree when the little sister flew away without them. Get out of this. Just let me get out of this tree and meanwhile, trick or treat. The little sister is at the door to get some candy. The lady thinks she's dressed up. Hang on, witchling, we're on our way, said the little cat, said the big sister with the little cat hanging towards her. Candy? She goes to another man's house. Candy. And another lady's house. Candy. Humph, candy. And little sister has so much candy in her hat, she had to stop. Step on it, kitty. Free the hostage. Careful, kitty. Try to act human. Holy whiskers, thinks the kitty as he sees the little sister and her full hat full of candy. You need a paw? Asks one boy. Nice haul, said a little girl. She's brave, but she's in trouble, too, said the big sister and the cat, looking on. Candy, yum, candy heavy. Excuse me, miss, but I believe that's my broom. The kitty says, I'm exhausted. Drat, says the little sister. Now hop on. Your little adventure has come to an end, as the big sister and the cat and the little sister on the end go flying off towards home. Yikes, something's got to give here, witchling, and it's not going to be me or you or kitty. And someone points at them. Look, look at that costume. They're flying. We're heading for straight for a tree. Broom, pull up. Witchling, the time has come. Drop that candy. It's raining treats, say the kids on the ground. It worked. Full speed ahead, said the big sister. Well, that wasn't exactly the way I planned it. But I learned something today. My little sister is the bravest and the sweetest little witching around. And there the big sister is carrying her little sister in her arms. And the little sister is so tired out from what she had done that she's asleep in her big sister's arms. And there's the cat behind them carrying the broom. And she put her little sister straight to bed. And the cat is holding a candy lollipop and a little doll. And this big sister says, I wonder where she got that from, thinking of the candy lollipop. And that is the end of the story. This book is Last Stop on Market Street by Matt De La Pena. CJ pushed through the church doors and skipped down the steps. The outside air smelled like freedom, but it also smelled like rain, which freckled CJ's shirt and dripped down his nose. From the bus stop, he watched water pool. Whoops, I missed that page again. He ducked under his Nana, which was Grandma's, umbrella, saying, How come we gotta wait for the bus in all this wet? Trees get thirsty, too, his Nana told him. Don't you see that big one drinking through a straw? CJ looked for a long time, but he never saw a straw. From the bus stop, he watched water pool on the flower petals, watched rain patter against the windshield of a nearby car. His friend Colby climbed in, gave CJ a wave, and drove off with his dad. Nana, how come we don't got a car? Boy, what do we need a car for? We got a bus that breathes fire, and old Mr. Dennis, who always has a trick for you. The bus creaked to a stop in front of them. It sighed and it sagged, and the doors opened for them. The bus lurched forward and stopped, and then lurched. Whoops, I missed another page in this book. "What's that I see?" Mr. Dennis asked, and he pulled a coin from behind CJ's ear and placed it in his palm. Nana laughed her deep laugh and pushed CJ along. They sat right up in front. The man across the way was tuning a guitar. An old woman with curlers in her hair and had butterflies in a jar. Nana gave everyone a great big smile and a good afternoon, and then she made sure that CJ did the same. Whoops! These pages are so hard to turn. I'm so sorry. The bus lurched forward and stopped, and then lurched forward and stopped. Nana, who was knitting, hummed. "How come we always got to go here after church?" "Miguel and Kobe never have to go anywhere," CJ said. "I feel so sorry for those boys," Nana told him. "They never get a chance to meet Bobo or the Sunglass Man. And I hear Trixie got herself a brand new hat." CJ stared out the window, feeling sorry for himself. He watched cars zip by on either side and watched a group of boys hop on curbs on bikes. A man climbed aboard with a spotted dog. CJ gave up his seat. "How come that man can't see?" "Boy, what do you know about seeing?" Nana told him. "Some people watch the world with their ears." "That's a fact," said the man who was blind. "Their noses, too," said the man, sniffing the air. "That's a mighty fine perfume you're wearing today, ma'am." Nana squeezed the man's hand and laughed in her deep laugh. Two older boys got on next. CJ watched as they moved on by and stood him back. "Sure wish I had one of those," he said. Nana set down her knitting. "What for? You've got the real live thing sitting across from you. Why don't you ask that man if he'll play us a song?" CJ didn't have to. The guitar player was already plucking strings and beginning to sing. "To feel the magic of music," the blind man whispered, "I like to close my eyes." And Nana closed her eyes, too. So did CJ, and the spotted dog, too. And in the darkness, the rhythm lifted CJ out of the bus and out of the busy city. He saw sunset colors swirling over crashing waves, saw a family of hawks slicing through the sky. He saw the old woman's butterflies dancing free in the light of the moon. CJ's chest grew full, and he was lost in the sound. And the sound gave him a feeling of magic. The song ended, and CJ opened his eyes. Everyone on the bus clapped, even the boys in the back. Nana glanced at the coin in CJ's palm, and CJ dropped it into the man on the street, the man's hat. "Last stop on Market Street," Mr. Dennis called, "and I'm afraid we've run out of time for this book, so we'll have to continue it next time." Well, anyways, I've run out of time for Read to Succeed today. Be sure to listen next time. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Janice Peary, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For more information about NCRS, be sure to listen next time. Excuse me, for more information about NCRS, please visit our website at ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-9222.